Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
I have four words to start this podcast: pet peace of mind. I'm just going to let our listeners digest that for a second. Pet peace of mind. Have you heard of that before? We're going to talk about it. I'm very, very excited to have the president and founder of Pet Peace of Mind, Diane McGill, with us. How are you, Diane?
Adam, I'm so delighted to be here. This is a real treat for me. So thank you for inviting me on.
Oh, my honor. We're very excited. And I can't wait to share with the world and our audience about this wonderful nonprofit that you have here. So to our listeners, Diane McGill founded Pet Peace of Mind in 2015 to ensure hospice and palliative care patients have the support they need for their animal companions. That's right, their animal companions. Diane is a former CEO and executive director of the Banfield Charitable Trust, a public benefit charity. She joined the organization in 2006 and guided the charity's expansion to develop and launch of the Pet Peace of Mind and Meals on Wheels pet care assistance programs and several others. During her tenure, the charity was thrice awarded Charity Navigator's four-star rating for operational transparency and financial stewardship. In 2013 and 2014, Charity Navigator also named the charity to its national top 10 list of impact-to-income public charities. Prior to her role with Banfield Charitable Trust, Diane was the resource development director for a higher education nonprofit. She has also served as an officer and director for seven nonprofit boards of directors and currently devotes a portion of her time to nonprofit management consulting. Her other leadership roles include senior level positions with the Associated Press, McClatchy Company, and Gannett Newspapers. Diane graduated summa cum laude with a BS in management and organizational development. She also holds certificates in community mediation and organizational training. Well, I'm really excited for our listeners to know more about this. So let's get into it. Just tell us a little bit about what is Pet Peace of Mind.
Pet Peace of Mind is a nonprofit organization that works directly with hospices, home health agencies, and hospitals to put programs into place for their patients who are struggling with pet care needs. Lots of times, a pet is the only companion that someone who is facing a serious health crisis has in their lives to count on. And when they get too sick to care for that companion, Pet Peace of Mind program run locally by each of those organizations is ready to step in and help that patient and pet remain together. And then, if necessary and when appropriate, find a new forever home for the pet.
I love this. Now, I know we got connected through our good friend, Dr. Molly McAllister, about this, and she's been had some personal experience with this. And it really resonated with me too, Diane, because I was telling you before a call that, you know, I wish that this organization, what I was aware of this organization years ago when I was practicing, because unfortunately, there are so many circumstances of this that happens, especially now probably than ever with COVID and everything else that we're going through. So how are these support services delivered?
We provide a training model. Again, everything is delivered locally by the hospice, home health, or hospital volunteer services department. So it is not one of the misconceptions, a couple of misconceptions I think are important for listeners. First of all, we're often, the first thing people think about is, oh, this is a pet therapy program. No, this is not a pet therapy program. This is a program for a patient's personal pet. And the other misconception that frequently occurs in our world is that we have a nationwide network of volunteers that zoom from spot to spot, taking care of pets when need be, but that's not true at all. Every organization is responsible for recruiting their own volunteers. What we do is provide a soup to nuts program model that provides every single thing an organization needs to run this program. We jokingly refer to it as just add water, and the water is, of course, the local volunteers. So when an organization makes the decision to come into Pet Peace of Mind and to put the program into place for their patients. There are a series of steps that need to take place on their end. It is not just, oh, hey, let's put a pet care program into place. This program is designed to be fully integrated into the operational system of each of the organizations. That's important because if a social worker or a nurse or a physician who is caring for a patient sees that they're struggling or that patient mentions it to them, that they're having trouble or a level of anxiety about what's going to happen to my pets are at home, who's going to care for my pets, it's often someone on the medical front line that sees the need first and then refers the patient to volunteer services so that pet care can actually be put into place.
That's just remarkable. You're right. There's got to be such a level of anxiety, even if it's something where they're going to be in rehab for a few months, physical rehab, whatever it is, and you worry about those pets, it gives you literally peace of mind knowing that that's in place. And what's the cost of that to the pet owner?
There is zero cost. In fact, that's one of the operating arrangements that every program that comes into the Pet Peace of Mind Network must agree that there will be no cost to the patient other than, of course, normal pet care expenses, such as a veterinary bill or a grooming bill or a boarding bill or food or so forth. But they cannot charge patients anything for the service beyond the normal cost of owning a pet.
That's another remarkable thing. Is there a role for veterinarians in this program?
There is a critical role for veterinarians in this program. And again, while we try to keep the rules loose so that the program can respond appropriately to patient needs, there are a few hard and fast rules that we do enforce. And one of them is that every operating program must have a consulting veterinarian. And we did that for a couple of reasons, and it's been part of the program from the outset. Part of what we know is that volunteer coordinators, who are the ones that actually execute the program, assign the volunteers, track the need, et cetera, they don't often come with pet care backgrounds. So it is really important for them to have a safety net in a consulting veterinarian if they get into trouble or have a question that they can't answer or have a crisis situation sometimes or just need help on basic protocols. The consulting veterinarian role is not a treatment role. Now, I want to be really clear about that because the relationship, part of Pet Peace of Mind's philosophy is that the relationship between patient and pet and veterinarian, existing veterinarian, is an important relationship. That vet has known the pet all of its life and should indeed remain always engaged to care for the pet. But given that many patients will be receiving Pet Peace of Mind services all at once, that volunteer coordinator needs a partner on the team that he or she can call to discuss, a pet care need if the vet can't be reached or if the volunteer is on site and has a question. That need just cannot be overstated. It's a critical part of the program. But again, not a treatment. It's an advisory role only that seeks to take advantage of the veterinarian's knowledge of pet illness, pet behavior, et cetera.
And walk me through a scenario then. Let's just say it's end of life care for a person. What does that look like in terms of their pet?
So while the patient is still alive, the program is designed to have a trained volunteer, and there's a real emphasis on trained volunteer. That's a big part of the program is we teach them a lot about recruiting appropriate volunteers for the different jobs in Pet Peace of Mind. So an appropriate volunteer we define as someone who has hands-on pet care handling experience, such as, you know, a vet tech, a boarder, a groomer, someone who wants to do some volunteer work on the side, so that when we assign a volunteer, you know, when a hospice or a home health agency assigns a volunteer, it's going to be a volunteer who can step into most any situation with a new pet and quickly size up the pet, whether there's any anxiety or danger or fear or what have you, so that it becomes a perfect experience for the pet and the patient. Again, the patient's anxiety is relieved. So back to the services delivered. So a volunteer is assigned to a patient who, let's say, needs walking or feeding for their pet. The volunteer shows up at an appointed time. I mean, arrangements are made with the patient at home. It's like, I'll be there at 10 o'clock to take Buffy for a walk, or I'll be there at noon to change Fluffy's litter box. I'll come over and, you know, play with your high energy dog for a couple of hours every other day. I'll make sure that some, you know, the pet is fed and watered and so forth. There are also opportunities to provide transportation to the veterinarian, to the boarder, to the groomer, when appropriate. So it is designed to have volunteers execute any step of pet care services that a pet owner would normally do themselves. So that's, of course, while the pet owner is alive. And your statement about rehabbing for several weeks, that's an excellent example. Somebody, you know, has a serious health condition and they need to be either in a rehab facility or in, you know, at home and bed bound. That's an excellent scenario where pet peace of mind would be particularly helpful while the patient is still alive. So let's move to the other side of that coin, which is, of course, a patient who is going to pass and has a lot of anxiety about what's going to happen to their pets. One of the pet peace of mind training components, and it's the longest part of the training program when we bring a new partner in, is training the hospice to put a volunteer network for rehoming into place. Now, ideally, a new home will be found for the pet while the patient is still alive, so that the two can meet and the patient can pass, knowing who's the new pet parent's going to be, and watching the interaction with the new pet parents, and, you know, having sort of a blessing and a handoff. That isn't always the case. Sometimes patients pass very quickly and there's no time to actually have the new forever home in place. But the patient will pass with the promise that the pet will be rehomed into a new loving home. And that takes, that will have to take place after their death. So, you know, what that looks like is that's a different type of trained volunteer, someone, usually shelter volunteers, who are doing volunteer work on the side and taking care of patients' pets after they pass until a new home can be found. So it is designed to bypass putting the pet in a shelter and for the pet to stay in a volunteer's home until a new home can be found.
It's really, it's bittersweet. It sounds, it's beautiful. It really is. Choked up hearing that, but it really is so nice that they you have that organization there. So how do interested vets get involved?
Reach out to me. We're delighted. We've got an active website and there are contact places to sign up and do outreach all over our website, or call us. We're here and we love to hear from veterinarians. And here's how it works. If a veterinarian is interested in doing that type of work, just a quick email at dmcgill, dmcgill, at petpeaceofmind.org. All I need is an email that says, I'm interested in helping. Here's where I live. At that point, one of the members of our program team will actually reach out to a veterinarian and say, okay, we've got a partner who's already up and running, or a partner who's in training, or a partner who, you know, has had a consulting vet for a long time but might need another one. We will connect the veterinarian directly to a hospice, home health, or hospital in their area. so that they can meet up and have a handoff and learn about the program from the actual hospice themselves. And then the volunteer schedule is arranged from there. Interestingly, during the pandemic, we did a lot of remote vet work for obviously a couple of reasons. The demand on veterinarians' time right now is, again, cannot be understated. So often, even consulting vets who were in the same community needed to go to either a Zoom discussion or a quick phone call or a quick email instead of the more traditional face-to-face meeting. So remote opportunities sprung up all over the country, especially if all the local consulting vets were busy. Sometimes we've got a vet from another coast or another part of the country who's willing to step in and be an advisor. So there are lots of creative ways to get involved, and we love having veterinarians part of the program. It provides its own version of peace of mind for the hospice partner, knowing that they've got a trained professional who's willing to give them some advice when necessary. It is not a high-time gig, and I think that's another reason that it becomes an attractive volunteer job for veterinarians. At the most, an hour or two a month is the time commitment. So that, you know, even sometimes even for busy veterinarians, that's a lot. But we try to, you know, ensure that no one's time will be sucked through.
Oh, I absolutely love that. Well, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much to the folks and the volunteers, all the volunteers at Pet Peace of Mind. I want to give you all a shout out on behalf of the veterinary profession. Thank you so much for all your work too. And Diane, thank you so much for organizing such a wonderful organization that we have that's available.
Thank you, Adam. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Diane McGill, everyone, thank you so much for joining us. And hopefully this inspires you. I know many of you listeners out there have been looking at some volunteer opportunities and what else you could do. And I can't think of a better organization than to help out the friends at Pet Peace of Mind. I mean, you're doing such great work and serving purpose out there. So thank you so much for your time. And thank you to our listeners for tuning in. Always have a great episode heading your way. And stay safe out there and stay possum. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay possum.